Welcome to the first episode of the Ground Level Fitness podcast series. I am Josiah Lathrop, your host, as well as the owner of Ground Level Fitness. Ground Level Fitness is a small personal training company that I run out of my home as well as my online website, groundlevelfitness.com. When I started Ground Level Fitness a little over a year ago, I had been working in a corporate gym for over 3 years. I love my job as a group fitness instructor, and I have met many, many amazing people through that avenue. But there was something missing for me as a professional that I wanted to take to the next level, so I decided to create my own business. It's slow growing, but it's very rewarding. In future episodes, I'll give you a little bit more background on my business and my training philosophy and who I am as an individual. But I wanted to talk about the upcoming holiday season and the fears that many people have about holiday weight gain. When I was going across the internet doing a Google search on American weight gain through the Thanksgiving to New Year's time period, the common numbers on average were between 5 to 10 pounds. That was actually my perception too before I did a little bit more digging. In fact, a study done by the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development and the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases found that on average Americans probably only gain about a pound during the winter holiday season. The catch is that the extra weight that they do gain, the pound or so that they do gain, they do not lose the next time the holidays come around again that next year. That's fascinating to me. So the common misconception is that you gain 5 to 10 pounds every year during the holidays, right? But in fact, you only gain about 1. But you don't lose it. Most people do not lose it. In fact, out of the 195 people that they studied, a year later, they got 165 to return, and on average, they kept that pound on. They did not lose the pound of weight that they had. So, if you wanted to assume that the trend continues, you could run into some serious problems later on in life associated with weight gain. I mean, if you think about it, let's say you started at 20 years old. Granted, your metabolism is a lot faster, so 20 might be a little bit too young, but add 20 years to your life, and you've now gained, on average, 20 extra pounds that you never lost from the holiday seasons. Now, many people don't fall into this trap. In fact, many people successfully combat the quote-unquote weight gain during the holiday season by avoiding the problem foods that they used to have, exercising more, etc. But for many people, it's a very real thing. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's are usually spent with a lot of friends and family. Social gatherings like these are notorious for people to indulge in their favorite courses, sweets, and beverages. When I go up to my relative's house, there's appetizers, there's sweets lying around, not to mention the amazing food that my aunts cook. Now, all of these things could be sabotaging to me in my journey to be as healthy as possible. So all the appetizers, sweets, and beverages, all those things are so common in American culture today during the holidays that it seems normal and often great for most people. But there are many people who are trying to be health conscious and not put on that extra pound, and going to these events and engaging in social gatherings with their friends and family often seem like a train wreck waiting to happen. In fact, I've heard many people who tell me that their family and friends are either not supportive or sometimes even unsupportive of their health conscious choices, because in most cases their friends and family see the effort that you or your friends are putting into your lives, and they feel jealous or guilty of their own attitude towards food and or exercise. And being human beings, we sometimes lash out in unsupportive ways. So it could easily make for what's supposed to be a great Christmas Eve dinner at, say, grandma's house feel like you're entering into, you know, a den of wolves. So one of the biggest things that I've learned through the advice of others, and this applies to many different situations, is to have a game plan, especially if you're entering into a zone or a situation where you're not quite sure how the dynamics are going to play out, even though you have a small idea. It's better for you to go in to a situation that you're uncertain about with some sort of idea of what you need to do or what you need to get done than to go in and just wing it. With something like weight loss and or just trying to be health conscious in what you put into your body and what you exercise with, is very, very helpful to have a game plan, or it's super easy to get lost. So I've come up with a few tips to hopefully help you when you know that you're going to be surrounded by tempting food and or pressuring social gatherings that are very common during the holidays. Number one, find out what is being made for the meal and if there will be any appetizers. Like I mentioned before, during the holidays, my relatives and my immediate family are big on food, at least on my dad's side. And while I love food, especially the stuff that they make, I have to just be aware of what's available, what's going to be there, so that I can gauge what I need to be doing. The thing is, if you know what's being served ahead of time, you can eat something that will fill you up a little bit beforehand, so that when you do arrive at a loaded table, or when you do arrive and there's an entire counter of your favorite appetizers and desserts, treats, etc., you aren't hungry enough to sabotage your hard work by gorging yourself on all the food. When I was going to school and going through a nutrition class, we talked about the difference between actual hunger and appetite. Now, appetite is your perception of how hungry you are, and your hunger is actually how hungry you are. So, oftentimes, regardless of a holiday season, oftentimes when you go into a restaurant, they serve you these rather large appetizers. You eat those, and even though you've actually pretty much filled yourself up, your appetite hasn't been suppressed long enough to tell your brain that you've actually eaten a significant amount of food, and by the time the main course comes, you're still wolfing down food, and by the time you do realize that you're full, you've eaten too much. So, controlling your appetite, rather your hunger, is the key. So make sure that you are planning ahead and knowing what is going to be served to you so that you can act and eat appropriately ahead of time. Second tip, what time is dinner or lunch or breakfast? What time are the family meals going to be at? During our holiday season, with my family, our biggest meals mostly revolve around dinner. There are exceptions to the rule, but I want to know when dinner is. Let's say dinner is at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m., and it's 3 p.m., and I'm kind of getting hungry. So a wise thing to do for me, if I was trying to get some stuff in my stomach so I wouldn't overeat during dinner, would be to eat something around 4 or 4:30 p.m. It could be a handful of trail mix, it could be an open-faced peanut butter and jelly sandwich, something that's not very, very high in calories, but it's enough to satiate your hunger, your appetite, so that when you do go, again, to the meal, you're not going to overeat. Third tip, probably the most tried and true rule out there, eat less. I mean, come on, people, how hard really is it to just not eat so dang much? People in America today eat significantly larger portions than they did a generation ago, two generations ago, three generations ago. It's really gotten out of hand. I mean, if you go to a restaurant, the portion sizes are huge. It's literally ridiculous. Theoretically, if you portioned out that food into what a normal human being should be intaking, you could probably get two meals out of it, if not three. So just eat less. You don't have to be rude and not eat the food that you're being served, but eat less of it. It's so common in America today, especially during Thanksgiving, that you go over to your friend's house or your family's house, and you're stuffing yourself so full that Santa Claus is giving you the evil eye in case you get big enough to steal his job. I mean, that's where theoretically you could be gaining 5 to 10 pounds. Just kidding, but I hope you get the point. Eat less. One way you could do that, only put what you're going to eat on your plate for the first time you go through the line, and don't go back for seconds. Don't go back for seconds, don't go back for dessert. And if you do stick to that rule, you're going to eat significantly smaller portions of food, because heck, there's only so big a plate you can get, right? Even better, grab a bowl. If I was at my house and we were having Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner, I usually just put all my stuff in a bowl, and it fits nicely, it's smaller than a plate, and that's all I eat. It's one way to solve your problems. Lastly, just learn to say no. You know, the special pie or dessert that grandma made, or you know, your grandfather made in my case, is great and all, but if you want to encourage your family to help you in your goals, you have to start standing up for yourself and say no to the things that you really like. They're eventually going to see that, hopefully, and then they're going to support you, and they may not make something so unhealthy. In fact, if you wanted to encourage them, you could find a healthy recipe of, you know, say brownies or lemon meringue pie or apple pie, a healthy pie or a healthy dessert that has far less calories and is made with better ingredients. You can send that the recipe to them and say, hey, can you make this? You're doing two things. One, you're acknowledging the fact that they want to make something special for the company at hand, but they're also helping you towards your goals. I never want to be rude to the relatives that do make special things to eat for dessert. So if you really don't want to say no, just try a small bite so that you can complement the taste of the dish, but you're not going to be intaking any of the excess calories that usually come with dessert. So again, it's about engaging your friends, engaging your family to be supportive in your goals. If you need to be encouraged in your pursuits, let them know. That's what they're there for. That's what family and friends are there for. Let them know ahead of time so they're not embarrassed or they're not bummed out when you can't eat something or you don't want to eat a lot of stuff because you have a specific goal in mind. Telling the truth up front and asking people to help you out is always better than isolating yourself and eventually sabotaging your health goals. Now let's move on and talk a little bit about exercise and my thoughts on how exercise can be a huge asset in weight gain prevention during the holidays. So I wanted to start off with a common misconception that I've heard before, and it always makes me cringe because of how incorrect it is. I was talking to a woman recently about the role that exercise played in reference to the upcoming holidays and, of course, how much people eat, etc. She said that she was going to work out as much as she could and as hard as she could so that she could stock up her bank account, essentially, of calories in preparation for all the eating that she'd be doing. Sometimes this really honestly does, I'm not even sure what to say in response to this because it's just so blatantly either ignorant or just they don't want to face up to the fact that it's just completely wrong. Not only does this concept of working out extra hard so that you can eat a lot not work, it's backfiring against what we have done as human beings in the past. Before we had grocery stores and before we had all these places where you could purchase food, many occasions you had instances of time where there was a lot of food, there was a lot of game, there was a lot of foraging, and people stored away all those extra calories as fat for the times that they would not have a lot of food available, and then they would use that energy to help sustain them until the next period of plenty. Now, obviously, they did exercise. They had to chase down whatever that they were trying to eat and kill it, or they had to go forage for berries and roots and other edible things in the woods. But they didn't exercise super hard so that when they did eat a lot, they wouldn't gain as much weight. In fact, they ate a lot so that when there wasn't a lot of food and they still had to exercise to find food, the extra energy reserves would prevent them from perishing. It's so flipped on, it's so flip-flopped that it blows my mind. The fact that people purposefully exercise in inordinate amounts so that they can eat inordinate amounts of food is just the wrong mentality to have. Food is fuel. Bottom line. Now, do you have to eat food that tastes crappy? No, you can have food that tastes great, and it still provides that fuel that it is meant to be. Now, my brother would say that I don't have the most palatable tongue in the world, and the stuff I make is healthy but doesn't taste amazing. That's his perception. That I find that it tastes rather good. But again, whether it tastes good or just doesn't taste as good, bottom line is that food is still fuel. We should be eating to live, not living to eat. Not living to exercise, but exercising to live, to make ourselves healthier. That should be the bottom line. You know, my Christmas plans will be taking me up into the mountains, and there's no gyms around there that I know of anyways. There's big hills that I can run up and down, and best of all, I've got the most useful tools already with me, my brain and my body weight. Simple is better. When you go to your relative's house, wherever they may live, think push-ups, think squats, lunges, jumping, running, etc. Don't get crazy complicated. Don't feel like you have to have a machine to assist you in whatever movement you're trying to do. Your body and your mind and a little imagination is all you need. There's so many different combinations and time sequences you can use just with push-ups, squats, lunges, and jumping. You could get a great workout with just those four things, and there's plenty more things that you can do with just your body weight that don't require a ton of thinking. Just write it down, have a plan like I mentioned earlier, go into a situation with a plan or an agenda, don't go in empty-handed and just gonna wing it. Some people can get away with it, but trust me, it's not the easiest thing to do. I would completely recommend that you have a game plan when you go in. If you're struggling with coming up with some ideas of what to do, visit my website at groundlevelfitness.com. Under the workout tab, I've got plenty of videos that I've uploaded to my site that are 5 minutes in length or more or a little bit less that hopefully can jog your memory or jog your imagination a little bit on stuff that you can do. Your main goal is to get moving. So I hope that these ideas have helped. I know I come across a little bit strong, but it's because I'm passionate about what I do. I'm passionate about the people that are in my life and who I get to help on a daily basis. Remember, have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your friends and family. Be thankful for all that God has given you, because without Him, we would have nothing. I'm Josiah Lathrop, and this is Ground Level Fitness.